Once again, good morning, everybody. Welcome in. Tom Getzinger Show on this Tuesday, the 19th day of August. And we have another conversation situation with our good friends at Minnesota Valley Electric Cooperative. And we have some people here. But first of all, I would like to let you know that MVEC is the local rural electric utility that powers much of Kasechek Country. And we're very happy to have this opportunity. We do it once a quarter. So this is the MVEC quarterly report on KCHK, which, by the way, this building and our FM transmitter out north of Montgomery, both powered by Minnesota Valley Electric Cooperative. Thank you so much for keeping us on so consistently. Very much appreciated. Chad Breeze is the safety director. Chad, how long have you been with Minnesota Valley?
I've been with Minnesota Valley. Right now I've been with them for about 5 years, but actually I started my career at Minnesota Valley 27 years ago, and I've always been in touch with Minnesota Valley and throughout my entire grown adult life, so it's been great.
What was your first occupation when you went to work there 27 years ago?
I actually came on board as a mapping technician, so I started creating the maps of all the system that we maintain and work with. I like to say that I kind of started that backbone as we started to put it computerized.
So. Where are you from?
I'm from Jordan, so I live right in Jordan.
Okay. Is that where you were born and raised? And are you a Hubman, or where were you born and raised?
I was born in Gibbon, Minnesota.
Oh, my goodness. The Gibbon Complex, the Gibbon Ballroom.
Yes, that's
correct.
Did you
know the Hermels?
No, did not. But right, Breeze was a pretty big name down there, too. So
okay.
It's all good.
Very cool. Very cool. Where'd you go to school to be able to do this stuff?
I relocated to Jordan before I started school. So I was a Hubman, yes, through and through.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. All right. Gotcha. So born in Gibbon, but graduated from Jordan.
Correct.
All right. Where'd you go to college?
I went to a school called Northwest Technical Institute, and that's where I studied in architectural drafting and design, and then took that and worked it into getting into the computerized mapping setup at Minnesota Valley.
Was Minnesota Valley your first job and first and only, or did
it
you
was
work...
not. No, okay. I worked for a company called Wausau Homes in Wausau for a few years, and then also in New Richmond, Wisconsin.
All right. Safety director, and you've been that for 5 years. Is that what you intimated?
I actually came into safety world about 2010 with the electric utilities. And so I worked in a couple different capacities there, one shared with Minnesota Valley and other co-ops, and then also I went and worked for the statewide organization for a couple of years here in Minnesota as a safety specialist.
So as safety director for Minnesota Valley Electric Cooperative, what are your tasks? What are your duties?
Essentially, a lot of what I do is regulatory. So I do make sure we keep everything on task for our commercial motor vehicle drivers. I make sure we've got all of our employees covered under all the safety rules that we need to do through OSHA. I'll come out and do work with environmental hazards and compliance for us as well. And then I spend a lot of time, you know, in the field itself, just doing crew observations and working with the crews to just maintain and watch for safety items.
It seems to me when I was doing some work for Steel Waseca Cooperative Electric, I would talk to their linemen, and they would go through was it yearly testing? They'd need to be able to, you know, carry a so much weight dummy up the pole and stuff like that. Are you involved with the lineman situation? Having them, how often do they have to test to make sure they can still do everything they need to do?
Yeah, Tom, correct. They have annual requirements that they have to be able to do a pole top rescue and a bucket truck rescue. And then we have our other pieces, you know, that are regulatory pieces, as well as making sure we know how to run our equipment safely, and other pieces that are more of a three-year focus. But annually, they are showing proficiency on still climbing poles and still out there working with the equipment that we have in the field.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and get to the matters at hand. Dan wrote out a nice syllabus here for us to follow. And, of course, I never do that. So, you know, that's all right, though. Harvest Safety, Chad Breeze, Safety Director, Minnesota Valley Electric Cooperative. What would you like to tell us about that?
Yeah, it might be a little bit early for us to be getting into the harvest safety side. Yeah, but I think it's never, you know, too early to be thinking about prepping for it. You know, I think a lot of folks are probably doing that right now. now in the agricultural side, where we're getting prepped for that harvest. And we are only about a month away from basically National Farm Safety and Health Weeks in the middle of September. So it's a good time to start talking, and we, especially here, within MVEC's territory and also with the KCHEX listeners, I think there's a lot of great things we can take from it this time of year. One of the biggest things that we look at is just keeping distance, from any of our facilities out there, whether it's overhead lines, underground transformers, or any work stuff that we have in the field that's marked with our name and our logo. We want to make sure we keep that distance, because electricity is kind of a weird thing, and we don't want to get in between that and its ground source at any time.
It's serious, Chad. I mean, this stuff, it'll kill, and it's been a few years now, but, there was an incident right here in the immediate KCHK listening area where I think two people got electrocuted on a farm when their piece of equipment came in contact with a electrical power line.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, and we really put a lot of emphasis on that. We're, making sure that we are thinking, of any equipment that's running out there as an extension, to the ground, and it can be a hazard to anybody. People, in ag, just like our line workers and a lot of other folks out there, work long hours, and that fatigue sets in sometimes. And at that point, it's the best time to make sure that you have somebody else, another set of eyes watching, and just somebody always paying attention to what's happening. Just like anywhere else, equipment isn't getting any smaller, and I think that's the key thing to really keep in mind is, one thing we really want to promote, especially this early in the harvest season, if somebody is out there buying a new piece of equipment and it is bigger than what they've used before, have any questions at all on how it's going to work within their facility, don't be afraid to give us a call and speak to our distribution designers. They'd love to come out and just make sure that we have proper clearances, everything is in check for that new stuff you're bringing into onto your farm sites.
Chad Breeze, Safety Director, Minnesota Valley Electric Cooperative, KCHK Radio, about a minute in front of 9. Again, we're going to take a bite out of some of Jimmy's time. That's okay. He'll catch a little nap out there, and we'll get him in here when we get him in here. We also have Allison Januski with us and Avery Landwehr, and they're all going to get a conversation in as well. But with Chad, the final topic for you, outage safety. What would you like to say about that?
Yeah, as most of us are aware, this year 2025, we've had some several large storms, especially late summer this year. Actually, our largest event just occurred here July 29th, right in that time frame. We just watching some of our outage maps, we're in the range of 8,000 of our members out of power at that point.
So. Okay, so that was on July 29th, and it was 8,000 members out of power.
That's one of the numbers I remember seeing through the middle of that.
And
storm,
was that just a weather cause situation?
Correct. Okay. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All weather related. We had some heavy winds that came through pretty much right across our entire service territory.
Gotcha.
And so with that, these outages occur, whether it's trees coming down on lines or different failures of equipment that happen out there with that extreme storm event. And sometimes those can lead to longer outages, we're working out there as safely as we can to restore that power as soon as possible after it. It's not too long after, we get the initial reports that we have crews that are rolling already to start to do the assessments and start to take action. Something to keep in mind, though, as listeners, is you may see one of our trucks come by your place 2-3 times, and what they're doing is they're making sure that there isn't any other hazards that are going on down that line from your place that could be affecting somebody else or possibly cause personal injury or harm to somebody. So we may see trucks come by, but know that with confidence that we're in that area doing the best we can to get this back up and running and get you power as soon as we possibly can. So but it's always good to have plans in place, for some of those longer outages that occur. I think I would have to say that we had the vast majority of ours back up and running within a 24-hour period on that storm in particular. And that's pretty good, when you look at those numbers. But still, there are some key things you can look at, when they talk about having alternative light sources, some way that you can get around your house. We, be careful with open flames, candles, that kind of stuff. But flashlights, batteries, battery battery-powered radios. You know, it's always good to have, you know, an ear on, you know, what's happening. We may get detailed information from somebody like KCHK, you know, that's putting out information for us. And then, you know, watching some of your own appliances, you know, people talk a lot about how long is it going to take before my food goes bad in the freezer or the refrigerator, you know, with those kinds of things. And typically, if you look at, you know, American Red Cross, different sites that are out there, you can keep your frozen foods at a half-full freezer good for up to 24 hours, you know, very safely. And a full freezer, 48 hours, you know, they're very confident about that. And the focus has kind of changed on the refrigerator side to maybe pulling out some of your essentials, medications, milks, that kind of stuff. Put them in a cooler with some ice, keep them cold for yourself. But because they've kind of changed their focus from a time frame to more, if it's over 40 degrees, you know, and that if you take a temperature of that food, you probably don't want to use it. It's in those perishable items that are out there. So, and then, of course, some folks have generators. Consider that as a safe means to use as well. One thing that I guess I like to throw out as far as our safety and our line worker safety in the field with the generator is if you know that we're working in your area and things are happening, one of the things that our line workers pick up on pretty quickly, and if you've experienced an outage, you know how quiet it can be, but they can hear a generator running from a long ways away, and that's going to really raise their safety, you know, their safety barometer, because that could be something that comes back and could feed back down the line and create harm or danger to those folks too. So if you're running a generator and you know that we're in the area, it's probably not a bad idea to shut that down. And
really?
Make sure that
okay.
It's safe,
okay.
So we don't have a possibility of any backfeed on that to our line workers.
All right. Well, let's say if they are out there and they do hear a generator, do they just proceed or do they go approach that person and say, hey, could you shut that down? Be safer? Or
they're going to go and do a visual check on it for sure. Just to see what's what the setup is, make sure it's been wired correctly and things are working the way they're supposed to.
Your final bullet point on this, and I have no idea where you would go with this, but it says prep some entertainment. What does that mean?
I noticed that one, too. I like to talk to Dan about that.
Yeah, okay. So, oh, my gosh. Dan, throw us a grenade. Holy cow.
No, it's good, though. I think the one thing that really gets a lot of folks and when you're in this situation is time slows down so dramatically, right? I mean, I think we've all experienced that where if you can have something else to occupy your mind, and it's probably not going to be a good idea to have it on your cell phone because you want to conserve that battery, but it might be time to go back to old school game, board games, do something else just to make sure that that time, you know, goes by a little bit more productively and we're not spending time always opening the fridge door, checking things, opening the freezers, you know, we want to conserve as much of that as we can. So I think it is good to have some kind of other entertainment because we don't have the TV or anything else to watch at that point, so we got to figure it out.
All right, Chad Breeze, Safety Director, Minnesota Valley Electric Cooperative. Again, it's the quarterly report. We're going to go to Allison Januski now, Talent Specialist. You got to explain to me what that is and what that entails, Allison.
Yes, so I focus on the recruiting, really attracting and retaining employees at Minnesota Valley Electric. So anywhere from recruiting, onboarding, trainings. I lead our leadership program as well as our internship program as well.
All right. I see on the notes here, 3 years at MVEC, graduate of New Prague High School. You're a Trojan.
Yes.
Okay. So where did you go after? Can I ask you what year you graduated?
Sure. Yes. I graduated in 2012.
Okay. And what year or actually what school did you go to after you graduated to get the skills to get this job?
Yes, I went to Mankato State University for a degree in human resources. So received my bachelor's degree from Mankato.
All right. And is this your first job that you've had, or were you somewhere else before you went to MVEC?
I was somewhere else. Previously to MVEC, I was at C.H. Robinson.
Okay.
I was there for about 5 years, and I did human resources there as well.
All right. Let's talk about the intern program working at the co-op. You give a lot of people a lot of opportunity.
Yes. So we launched a program in 2018, and really each summer we welcome 4 interns, and they just bring fresh ideas to the cooperative and energy to our cooperative.
So they're college students that are interns.
Yeah.
Is it, do you send word out to various colleges and say, hey, we've got an intern program and you know, fill this out and we might choose you? How do you get the candidates for this internship?
Good question. So we do post all of our internship opportunities on our website, as well as all open positions. We do also post on social media, as well as attend local career fairs to get the word out there. We do contact schools depending upon what we're recruiting for, if it's more detailed internship or more challenging to fill, if you will. So we do reach out to schools and instructors and have them inform their students of the opportunities as well.
Okay, so the phrasing on this, hired for college student each summer, so that leads me to believe that this is a paid internship.
It is.
Which is the best kind for any college student to get the internship and to get the pay as well. Talk about the recruiting side. What would you like to say about that, Allison?
Yes. So we, again, we attend the career fairs, but the recruiting, it's really open to a variety of fields for the interns and the students, anywhere from human resources to communications, finance, engineering, operations, energy services, safety, IT, kind of you name it. We vary our internships each year. And again, typically we have about four of them. And kind of the work they're doing, it's gaining hands-on valuable experience. They work within their respective departments, as well as about 10% of their time is spent on a group project. And we have another intern with us here today, or a intern with us here today, who's going to talk more about kind of her role and what she did this summer. But providing them that experience, and it's a chance for them to connect with individuals across the cooperative at every level. And it's a win-win for both the intern as well as the cooperative. They're focused on our business strategy and doing things to help us grow within Minnesota Valley.
All right. So, Avery, this is why me reading this in advance might have come in handy because this is all about the great internship that we've been talking about. So very cool. Avery, we're going to get to you in a bit. Talk a little bit more, Allison, if you will. Again, Allison Januski is the talent specialist at Minnesota Valley Electric Cooperative. Talk a little bit more about this summer's work and maybe expand on that project a little bit.
Yes. So this summer we had an engineering intern who focused more on our pole and line inspection process. We had an energy resources intern who focused on our EV rate structures. And then the group intern, they did a battery storage program proposal. And then again, majority of their time is spent just within the respective departments, and about 10% is on that group intern. And the best thing yet is that I haven't mentioned yet, is that previously we have welcomed many of our interns and provided them full-time opportunities down the road. So very exciting time for our interns to get to learn them and see kind of the work they produce.
Yeah, kind of a nice feeder program for you guys, most definitely. Minnesota Valley Electric Cooperative, that is the topic of conversation that we have today. So Avery, you were so excited. You showed up right after 8 o'clock. Holy cow.
I did.
Wanted to come and get this going. And it's always good to be the first one here when your quote unquote, I guess, bosses are coming in. So that worked out well. Avery Landwehr, I see that you're from Scone. Is that the deal?
Yeah, I'm from just outside Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Oh, for goodness sakes. But you're a Vikings fan. That's very interesting.
Not at all. Not even a little. I think that's a form of Wisconsin treason.
Oh, my goodness. Dan, you misprinted that. He put big letters, Vikings fan. Okay, so Avery Landwehr, business analyst intern, U of M, Twin Cities. So you go to the U, but you're from Wisconsin. So what are you majoring in up there?
Yeah, I'm majoring in sustainable systems management with a track in product sustainable business practices.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I didn't understand a word of that, but as long as you know what you're doing, that's
essentially
fine.
Essentially environmental business.
Okay, all right. And so why did this internship appeal to you, and why did you think it would further you and give you a bigger head start once you're done with college?
Yeah, well, it was just something different, learning inside of like a real world application as opposed to in the classroom. I've never really done tons with power before, and so I really wanted to dive into that, explore a little bit of that. My grandpa was a lineman in Boise, Idaho, so I knew a little bit. And so when the opportunity presented itself, I found it through the University of Minnesota. I was like, yeah, absolutely. I can totally check this out.
Allison, I would like to go back to you for a quick second. So what's the criteria? Is it you solely choosing the interns, or is there a board? What's the criteria that you choose these four? Because I'm imagining that you have more than four entries. So you've got to go through whatever to make the decision. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, good question. So the leadership team proposes their ideas for the intern they would like for the summer, and then kind of come together to determine what departments are going to be getting an intern. And then I lead that recruiting process. So I post all the positions, interview and hire the candidates. I work with the department leader, the hiring manager, to determine the candidate. We kind of interview together, but I'm the one conducting the interviews with them and doing the offer, so on and so forth.
You know, it varies from year to year, I'm sure. But on average, how many responses do you get? How many of these college students are looking to get one of those four positions?
It definitely varies. IT seems to be a highly sought after internship. So we can range anywhere from like 50 to 100 applicants. Engineering, we don't receive as many applicants. I would say around 20.
Very good.
And it depends.
Avery, we're going to go back to you. So Avery, I'm going to go right off of Dan's notes here. So if you've covered this, say, Tom, I've covered this, move on. but talk a bit about why you applied and what you expected out of the internship versus what is actually happening.
Yeah. I didn't quite know what to expect. I just definitely came into this with an open mind, wanting to learn as much as I could over the summer. Everybody's been so incredibly friendly, and I really didn't expect to be brought into as many projects as I have. I figured maybe this would be more of like a sit back and watch kind of role, but they really give you meaningful work to do, which really fills your day and makes me feel very productive while working here.
Well, give us some examples of those real tasks or projects that they've had you do. Maybe you've completed some, maybe you're still working on them.
Yeah, some of them, you know, shorter things like figuring out what to do with old substation components. Others, much more involved, where it was figuring out how much energy is being produced from residential solar systems and industrial solar systems within our service territory, and seeing what that does to our grid, the opportunities there, things like that.
What year are you in school?
I'll be graduating next year.
Okay, so back to you, Allison. As far as these intern opportunities go, are you looking for a specific year in college? Are you looking for ones that are just about ready to graduate, or can a freshman get in, or what?
The opportunities are open to any undergraduate student, so it doesn't matter if they're a freshman or a senior. Okay. Just have to be enrolled in a undergraduate program.
All right, Naver, you just happen to be, we're in summer, so this is going to be your final year?
This will be my final year.
Okay, very good. All right, so talk about your skills learned, technical knowledge, teamwork, time management, problem solving. Has any of that sunken in?
Absolutely. Working with a team, going into an office every day, I've gotten very good at Excel, all about the spreadsheets right now, being able to communicate exactly what I'm doing, lots of data analysis, and being able to present that to people in a form that, you know, everybody can understand and make sense of. So definitely learning some of that stuff.
Again, this is Avery Landwehr, and she's one of the four interns at Minnesota Valley Electric Cooperative. Joining us today, this is the MVEC Quarterly Report. Talk about some of the rewarding moments that you've had throughout the summer.
Yeah, absolutely. I think getting brought into all team meetings and really working one-on-one with my bosses with those scheduled times together, and then also being able to take my projects, the group project as well as individual assignments, and be able to present it to our entire executive team for them to go to the board with and be able to share that information company-wide has been really exciting to see.
So has your experience with Minnesota Valley Electric Cooperative, has it changed your career outlook after what you've done and will continue to do this summer?
I mean, I definitely think it's in line with exactly what I'm studying, kind of looking at businesses with that environmental and sustainable lens with the solar work that I've done. And so I really think that this internship has really hammered home that I chose correctly. This is exactly what I want to do. So,
All right. I'm going to read the last question word for word so we get it exactly. Are you a member of a cooperative at home? Well, let's just start with that. Yes or no?
I am not.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So what have you learned about an electric cooperative, or what makes an electric cooperative different than investor-owned or municipal utility? What? Tell us a little bit about that.
I think it reminds me a lot of like a small business. You know, it's very, very member oriented. Every meeting that we have, every conversation we have is all about how can we make this better for the members, and looking at it from that point of view, where it's, you know, again, we're all focused about that because we are a cooperative, because we are a nonprofit, and that is, you know, above all our priority, which has been fantastic to see and even better to work for.
Drawing to a close, our quarterly report from Minnesota Valley Electric Cooperative. Again, Chad Breeze joining us today, Safety Director Allison Januski, Talent Specialist in charge of the intern program there at MVEC, and then one of the interns, Avery Landwehr, joining us. Chad, any final words that you would like to share?
Yeah, I just know in Marvin's absence today, you know, I know he's always real big on talking about, you know, our safety of our folks out on on the roads, you know, move over laws that are intact, you know, just trying to keep that all in check. That tends to be one of our most hazardous areas at all, is working on a roadside. And so if you do see cones, beacons, signs, please slow down, give plenty of room. All of our workers, regardless of who they represent, have someone expecting them home safe that night. So please work with us on that.
Good point. Allison Januski, what would you like to say in closing?
Yes. So typically we post all of our internship positions in January or February. So if you or anyone you know is looking for a summer internship, they're currently an undergraduate student, watch our website, look at our social media pages. They will be posted around January, February timeframe.
Avery, how much of a draw was the fact that this is a paid internship for you?
Absolutely. Just the fact that, again, the experience, the skills, but also being able to make some money at the same time is, of course, incentivizing.
Very nice. Is there anything else that you would like to add, Avery?
Just a great internship program. I have nothing but good things to say about it. I've really enjoyed it.
Fantastic. Very nice. Again, the quarterly report from Minnesota Valley Electric Cooperative here on KCHK. We're going to put this up on the podcast page of kchkradio.net. And then Chris also will put links on Facebook and Twitter X.